When we are learning something, maybe for the first time, and attempting to master something, maybe for the first time, we're operating mostly in the space of possibility. When we've mastered something and make errors, we're operating in the space of probability. So when we're learning something and first getting to know something, we're really creating sequences of events which we are going to remember to be able to compare with other sequences of events that are going to be taking place later in our life. So this is a process that we do. It's almost like breathing, this process. And the process is called squaring. It's in yoga, for example, there's a process in which you enter into a pose and then you breathe into it and then you adjust the pose. So there's this process in which you can square things to remember them or keep them in focus. Remember I talked about focus in the very first session? I'm now going to tell you that squaring and focusing is essentially the same thing. So that you're focusing or squaring when you're learning something, but in order to make the adjustment, in order to change, in order to get to a place you haven't been before, you have to let go. You have to let the breath out. You have to relax. We might call this, you have to become unsquare. You have to unsquare things. You have to let go. You have to go into the space of observation without any object to your observation. This is the process that we use when we need to learn something new. I don't know how many of you are teachers out there, but you know when a student is ready to learn. The first indication of the readiness to learn is the willingness to let go of any ideas they thought they understood and are holding on to. Very often when I'm working with students, some of them argue with me. Well, why can't it be this or why can't it be that? There's nothing wrong with that arguing, but it indicates on the student's part a fear or an unwillingness to let go of what he or she believes is the current way of thinking. And in this process, very often, there's a relationship which develops between the student and the teacher, which is one of one being the authority over the other. And the whole purpose of this teaching I'm providing for you now is to get over that particular kind of thinking. It's not a question of the teacher knows more than the student or the student knows less than the teacher. It's a question of recognizing the process by which these thoughts about relationships develop. It's a process of squaring to gain knowledge and unsquaring, a letting go of knowledge. Remember, squaring is when the possibility curves, which have more room for manipulation, are multiplied by themselves, producing probabilities, numbers between 0 and 1. Unsquaring is the opposite of this. When you let go, every probability begins to burgeon out into waves of possibility. Every probability blossoms, grows, spreads out into waves of possibility. And this is exactly what must be done for the new squaring process to have something to focus upon. Letting go, squaring up, concentrating, diluting. These are the opposite processes. In the squaring, in the focusing, you're applying a method by which you will continue to learn something using this method. For example, you learn how to multiply numbers, maybe by memorizing a few numbers, and then you learn how to use the rule of multiplication, that when I say multiply 11 by 11, I first multiply 1 by 1, and then I multiply another 1 by 1, and I mark that as 11. And then I multiply 1 by 1 and mark that as 11, but I move it over to the left by a certain amount, and I add the two numbers up, and I get 121, 121, the process of we learn a rule. This is really following one square operation after another. There's no possibility of anything else changing in there. If I were to tell you that the number is something different than just an ordinary number, but I would tell you that it's a complex or imaginary number, that rule would have to change. But since I haven't told you what those are yet, I'm not going to tell you now what they are. But nevertheless, there are different kinds of numbers. There's different kinds of algebras. And in order to understand them, you have to be willing to let go of what you think you know. And even though you may not think you know anything about numbers, you know a lot about numbers. You use numbers all of the time. They're ingrained into your whole philosophy. And because of that, it may be more difficult for you to learn more abstract concepts in numbers, which come about through first letting go. Okay, so now you've got some idea as to how these things relate. Now I'm going to have you imagine the following situation. I'm going to set up a structure for you to imagine. We're going to be talking about focal points, and we're going to be talking about focal blurs. Now, how many of you have ever seen a blur? And then when you put your glasses on or got your eyes working better, you suddenly focused them and saw it as a sharp point. If you've worked with cameras, you certainly know how to blur the image and then bring it to a sharp focus. So you know what is focused and what is not focused. You understand the difference between focused and unfocused. Okay? Now I want you to think of the unfocused part as a possibility wave and the focused part as a probability curve, as something probable as a focal point, and something which is possible as a blurriness. Now, one way to picture that is to maybe take a piece of paper and draw a circle on the sheet of paper and shade it in, make it dark, and call that point, that circle, make it a small circle, a focal point. Then, right next to it, or someplace on the sheet of paper, it doesn't even have to be next to it, draw another little circle, and shade it gray, then another one, and another one, and draw these other circles very close to the first gray circle, so you have a bunch of grapes all drawn close to each other. That bunch of grapes all drawn close to each other are the possibilities which could, one of them, result in a focal point, depending on how you go about looking at it. Now, I want you to think of the following set of grapes, if you will. If you have a large set of grapes, lots of grapes in the bunch, that represents a larger field of possibility. There's less you know, but there's more possibility in it. If you have a small bunch of grapes, that's a field of less possibility, more probability. Probability is starting to kind of emerge from it. And of course, if you have a focal point, there's no possibility left at all. There's nothing possible anymore. It's probable. It's there. It's happening. So that's the difference. Now, what I've discovered is that if you group these things or arrange them, they form an order. Just take three of them, a small bunch of grapes, a large bunch of grapes, and a focal point. And you can put them in any order you want to, which is first, which is second, and which is third. And depending on how you order them, you create what is called a temporal order. And that order actually has a story in it. And that story that's in it is the story that you will tend to remember as you learn something new, or tend to forget as you let go of something you want to let go of. So these focal points represent or mark time. They're the creation of time. And in particular, they're the creation of the order of time.